Well, it's so nice to come to Winchester and Hyde Street Chapel to see Richard and Fiona after all these years, and Evan and Tracy, and perhaps if I had my driving glasses on, I'd see some more familiar faces as well. But it's so nice to see you. I want to preach to you over the whole of the weekend on this same psalm, Psalm 8, and tonight to come into it through verse 4, Psalm 8, verse 4, and then, God willing, over tomorrow we'll take it all, it's 9 verses to some degree. So, Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Let's go back a verse. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man? What a little pinprick each of us is in God's universe. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the sun, the moon, the stars, which you have made, what is man? What is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? What is man that you remember him at all? What is man that you remember him at all, or the Son of Man, that you visit him? Now, my Bible has that second line slightly differently. Or the Son of Man, I hope your Bible says that. The Son of Man. It's a very important title. But my Bible goes on to say, or the Son of Man, that you should care for him. And that's there in the word somewhere. What is man? What is the Son of Man that you care for him? We're such a tiny pinpricks in the universe. Who are we? What are we that you should care for us, that day by day and moment by moment you should hold us together by the word of your power, that you should look after us? But I like your translation better. The Son of Man, that you should visit him. Now, that day by day, moment by moment care, it's there in the word somewhere, but the word is, it's sharper than that. That God visits, little human beings. And he steps into our lives and he intervenes in some mighty and kind way. I think the first time the word, the Hebrew word behind it, the first time we find it in the Bible is back in Genesis. Abraham's wife is 90 years of age. God has promised her a child, a son. The child still has not come. And then we're told that God visited her. And she began to be expecting. God stepped into her life. God intervened. And the question is, what is man? What is the Son of Man? That you should break into these tiny lives of ours and do something mighty and something wonderful and something kind. You know, there is a New Testament equivalent. For instance, you remember the Lord Jesus in the village of Nain. And you remember the widow and the funeral procession, not for her late husband, but for her son. Her son is dead. And Jesus touches him. And he's alive. And you remember what the people of Nain say. God has visited his people. God has intervened. God has stepped in. And tonight we're saying, what is man? What are we? We little pinpricks in God's universe. That God should remember us at all. And who are we that he should intervene in our lives and do great and mighty things for us and in us? And really the first thing I want to say to you this weekend, tonight, is that God is like that. God is like that. And I wonder if you're saying in your heart, yes, I know he's like that, because he's intervened. He has stepped into my tiny pinprick of a life. He's done some mighty things for me. Now, it's so important. It's so important. There's God and there's you. That every human being comes to that place where you can say, yes, I know, because he's intervened in my life. And he's taught me to say, what is man that you remember him at all? Or the Son of Man that you should visit him? Now, that's the first thing I want to say, that God is like that. Now, the second thing I want to say is this, that it is a wonderful thing to be a human being. I wonder if you can hear that in our psalm. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great privilege for you and me to be made in the image of God, like God. And that is a part of the message of our psalm. Go back to verse 3 again for a moment. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him, verse 6, to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Do you see, it is a wonderful thing to be a human being in God's word. I wonder if you can see the four stations, the hierarchy of Psalm 8. There's God, there are the angels, and then there's us. There's man, there's human beings, and then there's the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea. There is this hierarchy. It is a wonderful thing to be a human being. He's made us a little lower than the angels, and he has crowned us with glory and honor to be the kings and queens of his creation. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to be a human being. But the greatest thing of all is this, that God is willing to visit us. That God is willing to step into your life and intervene and do mighty things and kind things for you, in you. He won't do that with a lion. He won't do that with a sheep. He won't do that with a spider. But he does it with the human being. Man. Man, he will visit. He will visit the little pinprick of a human life. It is a great thing to be a human being in God's world. Now, the third thing I want to say is this, that we don't often hear men and women and boys and girls talking like this. So I wonder if you've begun to talk like this, but we don't often hear it. What is man that you are mindful of him? Who are we that God should remember us at all? What is the Son of Man that you should intervene in our lives? I think what we're far more used to hearing is this: if there is a God, why is there war? If there is a God, why is there famine? If there is a God, why is there death? If there is a God, why is the queen so rich? Why am I so poor? If there is a God, why is there cancer? If there is a God, why am I in this distress? That's what we hear, and there are difficult questions. Let's not deny you that there are big and difficult questions for us to face. But we don't often hear this. What is man? What is man that you remember him at all? Who is the Son of Man? Who are we that you should visit our little lives? No, the point in Psalm 8 is not so much that we are sinners, that we have turned our backs on God and run away from him. And the whole of pains and distresses of our world and human life can be understood in these terms. There is our sin. We've broken God's laws and God's judgment upon our sins. Sometimes those two things are strangely mixed together in our world. Sometimes it's hard to pull those two things apart. Now, the sins of the human race, my sins, and God's judgment upon the race. There are our sins, but the point in the psalm isn't so much that we are sinful, dirty, stained, rebellious creatures. The point is that we are tiny. We are tiny pin pricks. Our minds are tiny, and our bodies are tiny, and our achievements are tiny. We are tiny pin pricks in God's universe. And each one of us needs to learn to say, what is man? What is man? That you remember him at all, or the Son of Man that you visit him. Now the fourth thing I want you to know is this, that Jesus Christ said it, and he said it about himself. Jesus Christ said it, and he said it about himself. What is man? That you remember him. Who am I? Who am I? Said Jesus Christ, that you remember me. Or the Son of Man, what is the Son of Man? That you visit him. No. 31 years ago, my friend Richard and his wife Fiona, they gave me two books, and I was telling Richard just now, the Treasury of David. So that's the great big commentaries on the Psalms by C.H. Spurgeon. And I admit, I've hardly opened them until 2018. I've always found the Psalms very difficult books. I have found isolated texts with which I can identify, but far more difficult texts than there are ones which immediately resonate in my soul. But Spurgeon's books on the Psalms are tremendous because they say again and again and again that the Psalms are about Jesus Christ. The Psalms are about Christ. They're about Christ. And as we sing the Psalms and read the Psalms and pray the Psalms, but especially as we sing the Psalms, we are getting into the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ and the life of Christ. And so when we come to lines that we can't immediately understand or identify with, and there are lots of those, we don't stop singing. We say, I haven't come to church to sing about myself. I've come to church to sing about Christ and to admire Christ and to adore Christ. And so I sing on when I can't say I and me all the time, because I remember it's Christ, it's Christ. But then what we find is that as we get into the life of Christ and the heart of Christ and the songs of Christ, that the great things come running back into our own souls, because we are in Christ and we can begin to sing more and more like Christ. Now, you know that the Son of Man, it's why I'm so anxious that our Bibles don't do away with this and reduce it to the human being. The Son of Man is a great title for Christ. And you know that Hebrews 2 in particular, it's not the only place, but Hebrews 2 takes up Psalm 8 and tells us actually it's all about Christ. The psalm is all about Christ. You almost wouldn't think that Genesis 1 or David, the first writer, 1,000 years before Christ, you would almost think it's got nothing to do with all of that now. It's Christ. There are these greater layers of meaning and truth, and Christ is the fulfilled meaning of the psalm. And so at one level we read it and we say, here are human beings, and God has made us a little lower than the angels, and crowned us with glory and honor. He's given us a dominion in his creation. And Hebrews 2 doesn't rub all that out, but it says that was just the bud. That was just the bud. The flower is Christ. And so now he was made a little lower than the angels. This is God sending his one and only begotten Son down into the world. And he took on, says Hebrews 2, flesh and blood, became a man, one of us. And he went down to the cross, and he tasted and experienced death. How low he came. So Psalm 22 will say, not even a man, I am a worm and not a man. That's how low Jesus comes. And I'm just saying to you tonight, Jesus says, who am I? What is man that you remember me? Holy Father, how come you're remembering me at all? Holy Father, how come you're visiting me? Who am I? Who am I? Jesus Christ spoke and sang and prayed like this. Who am I? Who am I that you should visit me? Now, I think we should pause there for some moments. You know that Jesus Christ is one person. The Son of God is one person. But he is two natures. He is God and man. And I think what we evangelicals need to remember is that those two natures do not run into each other, so that the God nature becomes diminished by the fact that he is man. Now, I think we've got that. But the other way around, I'm not sure that I've got it, that the God nature does not run into the man nature. And the man is real man. He's real man. As I've heard Sinclair Ferguson say on YouTube, he says, and not a Superman. And that's a very, very important thing for us to know. The fact that he was God as well does not make him Superman. He's a weak man, and a groaning man, and a tempted man, and a weeping man. And he says to God, who am I? What is me? That you remember me at all. What is the Son of Man that you should intervene in my little life. And so the fifth and the last thing I want to say to you tonight is this, that every believer in Jesus says it. Every child of God says it. I mean, Christ says it, and then all who are in Christ say it. We say it. We say, who am I? What is man? That you remember me at all. What is the Son of Man that you break into my life? You see, we are sometimes taught, and perhaps we think it, perhaps we can see some truth in it, that we were not redeemed by corruptible things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now that's the Bible. That's so wonderfully true. We're saved by the precious, precious blood of Christ, which was also the blood of God. We're redeemed by the blood of Christ, but sometimes we have gone on from there to say, and therefore, what a precious, valuable person I am. I'm worth the blood of Christ. But the Bible never draws that logic. I can see that logic, but I want you to know the Bible never draws that logic. The Bible's logic is, who am I that for my sake my God should take frail flesh and die? That's the Bible's logic. I want to ask if you've come to that point, to that place where you were saying, just that. I deserve nothing from you. Oh, who am I that for my sake my God should take frail flesh and die? I am a nothing. I am a pinprick in God's universe. What is man that you remember him, or the Son of Man that you should intervene and visit our little lives at all? And I wonder if you've come to that point. There's pain there, but it's such a wonderful point. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You're on the cusp of being born again when you can begin to talk like that. But that's not the miracle. It's when you mean it. When you mean it, you and God, you mean it. Who am I? What is man? What is the Son of Man that you should visit me? If you, tonight, you haven't got there, and you can't honestly talk like that to God, I wonder if you could at least say, oh God, visit me, visit me. Intervene, break into my heart so that I begin to talk like Christ. And I say, who am I? What is man? I deserve nothing from you. What is the Son of Man that you should visit me. But will you? Will you? Will you visit tiny, tiny nothing me? Turn this heart around. So I begin to say, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And what is man that you remember me at all? Well, I'll leave it there. Thank you.
To sing the hymn 215. My song is Love Unknown. My Saviour's love to me, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take for our flesh and die? 250.
My Lord should take breath.